This podcast is sponsored by the book, The Concept, A Critical and Honest Look at God and Religion, by Bo Bennett, PhD. Challenge your beliefs and explore faith through science and reason. Discover more at godtheconcept.com.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. We're diving deep into Galatians today.
Yeah, we're looking at it from kind of a different angle this time, more of a secular and critical perspective.
Right, exactly. And we've got some super interesting material to work with here. Stuff that really digs into, you know, potential conflicts and even contradictions within the text.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes this so fascinating. You know, we often approach these ancient texts purely through faith.
Mm-hmm.
But to really, you know, put on that critical lens and analyze it,
yeah,
that's where things get really interesting.
Okay, so before we get into all that, let's do a quick recap of what's actually happening in Galatians. We've got Paul, right?
Right.
And he's basically arguing against forcing Gentile Christians to follow Jewish law.
Yeah, he's saying, hey, look, you don't have to follow all these rules and regulations.
Right, but why was this such a big deal back then, like in early Christianity? Why was that such a hot button issue?
Well, think about it. Christianity at that point was basically a sect of Judaism.
Right.
So this whole question of like, do these new Gentile converts have to adopt all these Jewish customs?
Mm.
It was a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of created this identity crisis for this new religion.
I see.
You know, and it had massive implications for how Christianity was going to spread and evolve. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine you're setting up a brand new country.
Right.
What are the core values going to be?
Right.
That's kind of what they were grappling with here.
That's a really good way to put it. Mm-hmm. Now, this piece we're looking at, it points out how Paul's writing in Galatians is so full of passion.
Oh, absolutely.
It's almost like he's in this heated debate.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like he's delivering some divine decree. It feels very human.
It really does.
Does that make the text less divinely inspired?
You know, it's a really good question.
Yeah.
Because it makes us think about what we even mean by divinely inspired.
Yeah.
Right? If we believe that God works through humans, then maybe those human emotions, those passionate arguments, maybe those actually strengthen the idea of divine inspiration.
Oh, interesting.
It's like we're seeing this divine message, but it's coming through this very human lens.
Yeah.
With all its complexities, you know.
That's a really good point. Okay, another thing this excerpt talks about is how some of Paul's views, particularly on women and slavery, totally clash with our modern morals.
Oh, absolutely.
So how do we reconcile that? I mean, we've got these potentially problematic passages right alongside this broader message. Mm-hmm. How do we make sense of that?
It all comes down to context.
Yeah.
Whenever we're looking at these ancient texts,
right,
we have to remember the historical and cultural context.
Okay.
You know? So while some of Paul's views might seem outdated to us today,
they probably wouldn't have raised an eyebrow back then.
Exactly. They were just the norm during his time. Slavery, for instance, was completely commonplace in the Roman Empire.
That's true.
It was a completely different world. So the real challenge for us is to separate those timeless spiritual truths from the cultural norms of the past.
It really makes you wonder. Like, what are people going to think of our values 2,000 years from now?
Oh, I know.
Right. All right, moving on. Let's talk about this tension between faith and law. This excerpt highlights how Paul seems to prioritize faith over following Jewish law.
Yes.
And doesn't that create some philosophical issues, especially for people who view the Old Testament as the Word of God?
Absolutely.
So how do we square that circle?
So what Paul is essentially arguing for is a new covenant.
Okay.
A new way to relate to God. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ. Like, take circumcision, for example.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, it was this key part of the covenant God made with Abraham.
Yeah.
But Paul comes along and says, it's not necessary for salvation anymore.
Mm.
He's saying that faith in Christ is what matters. Now, this doesn't mean he's throwing out the Old Testament.
Right.
But it does propose a new way to understand our relationship with God. And yeah, it definitely challenges some traditional interpretations.
Okay, let's move on to miracles.
Hmm.
The material brings up how miracles are so central to Paul's theology.
Right.
But they seem to clash with, like, our modern scientific worldview. So how do we reconcile those two things?
It's important to remember that people in Paul's time had a very different understanding of the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to them, miracles weren't seen as breaking some scientific law.
Mm.
They were seen as expressions of divine power within the natural order of things.
I see.
You know, the excerpt gives that example of Paul healing the sick.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, they might have seen that as straight up divine intervention.
Yeah.
But today, we might look for a medical explanation.
Of course.
And different faith perspectives deal with this in different ways today.
Right.
Some people see miracles as metaphorical.
Yeah.
Others still believe in actual supernatural events.
Sure.
It really highlights this ongoing conversation we have between faith and science and how our understanding of both has evolved over time.
It's always evolving, that's for sure. Okay, last thing this piece touches on is how some scholars actually question how closely Paul's teachings align with Jesus's teachings.
Ah, yes, the big question.
So what kind of evidence are they looking at there?
So a lot of it comes down to comparing Paul's letters with the Gospels.
Okay.
They're looking for consistencies and also discrepancies in the messages.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Paul really hammers home this idea of justification by faith.
Okay, yeah.
Meaning that we are saved through faith in Jesus, not through following the law.
Mm-hmm.
But that specific idea isn't as prominent in the Gospels, which focus more on Jesus' teachings and actions. So these subtle differences, if they are actually there, might be suggesting that early Christian thought evolved over time and that various individuals and communities adapted the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah, to fit their own contexts.
Precisely.
Okay, so just to kind of sum up here, it's clear that analyzing Galatians through this critical lens, it raises a ton of really interesting questions about faith, morality, and how we even understand these ancient texts.
It's like we're looking at this text through a kaleidoscope.
Yeah.
All these different angles and perspectives adding to the complexity.
And here's something for everyone listening to chew on.
No, I like this.
What if you were writing a letter today, right now, defending your own core beliefs?
Ooh.
What kind of conflicts would future readers find in that letter?
That's a great question.
I mean, think about how much the world has changed, even in our lifetimes.
Oh, yeah.
Social norms are constantly evolving. Our understanding of things is changing.
Absolutely.
It makes you realize how powerful perspective really is.
It really does.
And how our deeply held beliefs could be viewed in a totally different light centuries from now.
Absolutely fascinating.
So for anyone who's interested in digging deeper into these ideas, I'd really recommend checking out some resources on critical thinking.
Great idea.
It's an amazing tool for engaging with these kinds of complex texts.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, on that note, we'll wrap up here. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
See you then.